everyone. One of the key words of this pandemic, this crisis that we are in at the moment, is unprecedented. Well, today I'm doing something unprecedented. As part of the Easter Sunday sermon, I am filming and using this video as a part of the message. It's unprecedented for me. Now, what I want to talk about is a new walk that Emma and myself and the children have discovered. We've lived in our current house for over 9 years, and only during this lockdown have we discovered this new walk. And it's been great going on this walk, and I've even done some running up the walk. But there are three distinct landscape features on this new walk, which I want to talk through and explain, which, if you just bear with me and give me a chance to explain them, you'll see are relevant to what we're facing at the moment, as well as our Easter Sunday celebration. The first landscape feature I want to tell you about is called the Gask Ridge. Now, the Gask Ridge is a line of hills which runs southwest from Perth right down to Braco. And there is evidence of a line of Roman fortifications, of forts and watchtowers on this ridge. These watchtowers and forts were built in around about AD 80 and completed in that decade. So about 10 years after the Apostle Paul was martyred, and about 10 to 15 years before the Apostle John wrote the book of Revelation. And these forts were a frontier line, and they were there to observe the movements of armies from the highlands down into the fertile lands of Fife, which the Romans had occupied. The second landscape feature is a ditch called the Pow of Inchaffery. Now, this isn't any old ditch. This is a ditch which runs right along the side of the footpath. And the digging of this ditch started after Pope Innocent III, in 1200 AD, gave permission to the monks of Inchaffery Abbey to drain the lands around Inchaffery Abbey for agriculture and the improvement of those lands. The third and last landscape feature I need to tell you about is the path itself. Now, the path is on the line of the old Perth to Crieff railway. And this was a railway which connected up to Crieff and went on to Comrie and St Fillan's and beyond. And this line was sadly shut in 1965 after operating for just over 100 years. So why am I telling you all this? When the world is in the grip of a global pandemic in COVID-19, what's the point of me telling you about these features? Well, it's this. The evidence of these three things, the Roman fortifications, the Pow and the railway line, there's still some evidence of these things on the ground. But they're largely consigned to a forgotten history. These things were significant in their time. And for a long time, they were very significant. But they are now largely forgotten and not understood. So we come to COVID-19 on this Easter Sunday. This is a global pandemic. It's shaking the way we live. The whole world is under a significant influence, a significant strain of this pandemic. Every person who's passed away is a tragedy, and still we know there'll be many thousands who are yet to lose their lives from this. This event is defining for this decade, and will define the way the rest of this decade goes. But not just this decade, it will be talked about for many decades to come. Both the impacts on healthcare of the world, but also the impacts on the economy. And so we come to Easter Sunday, this day, the day we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. Now, all these events I've been talking about, and of course the pandemic, are things which are in history. And at some point we'll look back on this pandemic and remember it as an historical fact. And it's the same with the resurrection of Jesus. For many people, it's just a historical fact. It's something which happened many years ago that was written about by several authors. But we just consign it to being a historical fact, something that happened, but now we move on. But that is not the way we need to see the resurrection of Jesus. For it is not just one of a litany of a list of historical events. It is the historical event. It is the most significant thing that has happened in the history of humankind. It is the event around which all history pivots. It changed everything. And as we remember it on this Easter Sunday, we must remember that it changed everything. My fear is this, that as Christians, we don't treat it like the event. We come to Easter and we remember that it's Resurrection Sunday, it's Resurrection Day, it's the day we remember that Jesus rose from the dead, and then we kind of forget about it and move on with the rest of the calendar through the year. That we don't live in the benefit, the joy, the goodness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection more significant than the Roman Empire. The resurrection more significant than the advance of agriculture and the drainage of lands, enabling people to feed more and more people. More significant than the Industrial Revolution and the railways that accompanied that. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the significant event of all human history. So we can celebrate on this Easter Sunday, remembering that these things will be consigned to history. The Roman Empire, the COVID-19 pandemic will be part of history one day, but Jesus' resurrection has power for us every day. And it is not overcome by events of history. It is not changed by events of history, but the resurrection of Jesus changes history and has changed history and has changed mankind for all eternity. The truth is this. Though we specifically remember the resurrection of Jesus on this Easter Sunday, we need to remember it every day. We need to allow it to transform our lives every day. For in the resurrection of Jesus, there is power for every day.
So I've talked about the resurrection and the significance of it in world history, and I want to talk about the significance of it individually. I'm just going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you do have a Bible, say 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I'm going to read the first 6 verses. I'll start. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I pass on to you as of the first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures. And then he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to Apollos, and last of all, he appeared to me. I love Paul's very straightforward explanation of the resurrection. It's so good just to read those verses. It's so important to remind ourselves of the Easter story, and this, that we are a people of the empty grave. We are a people of the empty tomb. That is who we are, church. Without the empty tomb, we would not be a people. Because if there is no resurrection, Jesus is not who he claimed to be. But with him rising again and leaving the grave, we can say with confidence that Jesus is truly the Son of God, the one who has promised from ages to come to redeem his people, to crush his enemies, to bring justice to all nations, and to create a new heaven and a new earth as he redeems all things. And this is the hope that we have, the hope for all who believe in Jesus, all who follow and trust Jesus. So when we come, because we come through Easter, Good Friday, and we remember the cross, the story of Easter, of Good Friday, but we are not a people of the cross. Jesus did not stay in perpetual suffering and torment, isolated from the Father. He paid the price. It is over and it is finished. His body was broken, yes. His blood was shed, yes. He paid the price. And through the agony of the cross, our sin is paid for. The wrath of God is satisfied. But we move on from Good Friday to the dawn of Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day. And as believers, that is where we find life, where we find hope, where we realize we are new and born again at the empty grave. Now, recorded in the Gospel of John, there is this amazing discussion between Jesus and Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was a Jewish leader who came to Jesus late one night to speak to him. He had been amazed and heard about the miracles that Jesus had been doing and really was interested in finding out more about him. And it's recorded in chapter 3 of John's Gospel, and I'll just read some of it to you. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, "I'll tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." And Nicodemus says, "But how can a man be born when he is old? Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answers, saying, "I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. You must not be surprised at my saying you must be born again." This new birth, Jesus explained to Nicodemus, is the same for everyone who is a follower of Jesus. Everyone who puts their faith in him is born again. Is born again. Born of above, born again. And I can almost hear the questions that you might ask is, well, how does this relate to the empty grave? What does Easter tell us about new birth? Well, it's this. As Jesus was resurrected, as Jesus came back to life, as his body was resurrected and life flowed through him again, so it is the same for every believer. Spiritually, we are made alive again, born of the Holy Spirit. In the same way that Jesus was resurrected physically, so we are born again of the Spirit. We are freed from death and from sin. We are born into life, a new life, born into relationship with the Father, freed from the shackles of sinfulness and death, and into a hope of life after death with Jesus in glory. And this is good news. This is the good news of the resurrection, of this and every Easter Sunday. This is the good news of the empty tomb, that we are born again, raised to life as Jesus was on that first Easter Sunday. I want to tell you a bit of testimony about how this is spoken to me, and hopefully that will be helpful. Last year I was at a conference, and during one of the times of worship, in the spirit, I saw in my imagination a vision, and I'll just explain what it was. I was standing in this vision before an empty cave, and it was a Middle Eastern scene. It was hot and sunny, and as I looked at the cave, I felt the Lord lead me by the hand into the cave. And then as I was approaching this cave, I realized it wasn't just any old cave, but this was Jesus's burial chamber. This was his grave. And as I entered it, I could see the old grave clothes lying on the floor, and could see that the grave was empty. There was no one there. And then I felt the Lord lead me out again into bright sunshine and into the light. So what does this mean? And I've asked God and asked the Lord, what does this mean? And in the Gospel of John again, Jesus said, "The thief, and by whom he meant the devil, comes only to steal, kill, and destroy." And Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and have it to the full." In that vision I had at that conference, I believe Jesus was showing me that he is no longer in the grave. He is no longer in his grave clothes. And that he is in the light outside his grave. And outside the grave there is light. And in the same way, when I was born again, I left that grave of death. I left the grave of sinfulness. I left the grave of shame. And I was born again for life in all its fullness outside of the grave in light and life. This is the important thing that I think he was showing me as well, that I can easily go back to the grave in my life. I easily run back to the grave to find the things of death, the shameful things, the things I left behind which caused me death. I hide in the grave of shame or doubt or sin. And I think he was asking me, why do I go back to the tomb when he's brought life for me, given me life? Why do I go back to the tomb? As I read in those verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Jesus was raised on the third day, and therefore I was also. The same way that He was raised, I was raised. He came out of the grave, so I came out of the grave. The grave, sin, and death. It no longer has any hold on me. No longer has any life for me. Why would I go back? And this is the question I want us to all think about. Where are you living? Where do you find yourself when you are happy, sad, lonely, or just bored? Is it in the grave of despair, finding ways to cover over pain, disappointment, using things which belong to sin, as belong to death, using sin to self-medicate and soothe our anguishes? Or do we look at the cave and think, I don't belong there? And do we walk in the life and the light that Jesus has given you? Do you walk in all his promises, in faith and hope, not just in the resurrection which has occurred in the past, but hope in the resurrection to come, the one promised? See, there's a resurrection for all believe, for all who believe. This life is not it, but we have been, yes, we've been saved for this life, but we've been saved for the life to come, so that we can inherit new bodies in the new earth, so we can enter the new Jerusalem and worship the King in his glory on this redeemed earth. So as we celebrate this Easter Sunday, let us remember we are a people of the empty grave, and we live now in the fullness of the resurrection, life in all its fullness, with hope and life and resurrection to come.